Immediately, Abby said, and went with a light step into the house, leaving Mitten to extend a gracious welcome to her attendant. Since the struggle for position between the butler grown old in the service of the family and the one-time nurse to its three younger daughters was unremitting, Mrs. Grimston took this in bad part, detecting a note of patronage, and merely adjured him never to mind how she did, but to take care of Miss Abby's jewel box. Meanwhile, Abby, running up the stairs, found her sister awaiting her at the top of the first flight. Miss Wendover, enfolding her in a fond embrace, shed tears of joy and begged her in one tumbled speech to retire instantly to bed after the fatigue of her journey, to come into the drawing-room, not to put herself to the trouble of uttering a word until she should be perfectly rested, and to tell her at once all about dear Jane and dear Mary and dear Jane's sweet new baby. 16 years separated the sisters, for they were the eldest and the youngest members of a numerous family, three of whom had died in infancy, and one, the first-born son, when his only child was hardly out of leading strings. Between Selina, on the shady side of 40, and Abigail, with a mere 28 years in her dish, there now intervened only James, Mary, and Jane. It was with Jane, married to a man of considerable property in Huntingdonshire, that Abigail had been sojourning for the better part of the past 6 weeks. Having been summoned to support her sister through the disasters which had befallen her, measles had attacked her youthful family, and at the very moment when nurse, falling down the back stairs, had broken her leg, and while she herself was in hourly expectation of presenting Sir Francis with a fourth petit paquet, in a letter heavy with underscorings, Lady Chesham had implored her dearest Abby to come to her at once and to bring Grimston with her, since nothing could prevail upon her to abandon her beloved children to a strange nurse's care. So Abigail had posted away to Huntingdonshire, where she had remained for 5 weeks under trying conditions, all three children having succumbed to the measles before her arrival, her sister being brought to bed within 2 days of it, and her brother-in-law, at no time remarkable for amiability, apparently labouring under the conviction that this unfortunate concatenation of circumstances had been designed for the express purpose of causing him to suffer the maximum amount of undeserved hardship. "You must be worn to a thread," Selina said, leading her into the drawing-room, "and then to be obliged to go to London in all that racket and bustle. I don't think Mary should have asked it of you." "She didn't. I invited myself, as a reward for not having got into a quarrel with Sir Francis. Never have I known a more glumpish, disagreeable man. I sincerely pity Jane and forgive her all her peevishness. You can't conceive how glad I was to see George's good-humoured countenance when I reached Brook Street, and to be made so welcome by him and Mary. I enjoyed myself very much, and did a vast deal of shopping. Only wait until you see the bonnet I've brought for you. You will look charmingly in it. Then I bought ells of the prettiest muslins for Fanny, besides a quantity of fripperies for myself, and... But where is Fanny? She will be so vexed not to have been here to welcome you. Fiddle! Why should she be? It's Thursday, isn't it? Then I collect she is at the Cotillion Ball." "I thought there could be no objection," Selina said a little defensively. "Lady Weaverham invited her to dine and to go to the upper rooms afterwards in her party, and I consented to it, having then no apprehension that you would be with us again today." "Why, of course," said Abby. "Very uncivil of Fanny it would have been to have cried off." "Exactly so," said Selina eagerly. "With Lady Weaverham, too, such an amiable woman, as I know you must agree, besides having two daughters, which makes it so particularly kind in her to have invited Fanny, because it can't be denied that our dearest is the prettiest girl in Bath." "Oh, out of cry! As for Lady Weaverham, no one could be more amiable or more shatterbrained. I wish... No, never mind. I'm